Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four, brought to you by DraftKings. 68 teams started the tournament, and only the best have survived. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Pick any college basketball team that's still in the hunt for your shot at winning $100, and all it takes is a $1 bet and that team winning their next game. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if that college basketball team of your choosing pulls off the win. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, we spent a good amount of time talking about this year's Pro Day at Penn State and the potential for next year's Pro Day. But the overriding story here is what Dwight Gault has been able to do with the strength and conditioning program at Penn State. And there are so many success stories over the years that we could point to. This has been happening under the James Franklin regime. So many stories. What's your favorite one? I'm going to give you a first shot there. Give me the name that sticks out to you the most.
Favorite story? I mean, there's a couple that really jump out to me. And as I put my list together and shared them, I think they're near the top of the list. I love Carl Nassib. You know, anytime a guy goes from walk-on to an All-American who kind of figured it out and he's built differently. So they had to work on his physique to fill that frame out and still kind of maintain that. I loved his motor. You know, he was a relentless guy, and some of that comes from where he came from. I think anytime you start as a walk-on and you're having to fight for everything you get, it kind of ingrains that I'm not going to stop until I get it. And for somebody whose job it is to rush the passer, that has helped him tremendously. I think that attitude has helped him tremendously. But they needed to work a lot with him on his physique and his football skill. And that's the combination. I think it was all those things together. I thought physically they brought him along. I think football-wise they brought him along. You throw in that motor, which does not ever stop. And this is what you get, you know, a kid who defied the odds, and you know, he'll be in the league for a while, I suspect. So he's one of my favorites for sure.
That's a great one. And whenever you go from the status of walk on to an NFL player, it's a fantastic story, and it's nice to see that at a Penn State level. You know, this is not someone going to, you know, a Division III school and, you know, excelling there. But a guy who's able to walk on at Penn State, he's competing from day one against so many more highly recruited players and to stand out. I want to hit on a couple names together that from the one position that you listed, Dustin, and that's Saquon Barkley and Journey Brown. I know people will look at Journey Brown and can see the development. He was not highly rated. Saquon Barkley came into the program with a certain amount of gifts already, but he still is a story of how he progressed from when he started. Tell me about Saquon and Journey.
So starting with Saquon, we looked at him and his film from high school to me is still some of the most spectacular that you'll see of any Penn State player coming in. So it's not like he came from nowhere. At the same time, he was, what, one of the top 150 or so players in the country in that cycle. He was highly regarded, but never, ever viewed as a can't miss. So you take some of that breathtaking kind of you can't teach it stuff that he brought to the table already. Then you add in, I don't know, what, 20, 25 pounds for sure. I think actually more like 35 pounds from the start of his high school career, about 190.
And I think it all went to his thighs.
100%. And this is a guy, I think, you know, he was going to make it, I think, no matter what, because he had the work ethic and he had the talent. Like, he has an unbelievable drive to make himself better. I don't care what weight room he got into. He was going to help himself. He was going to get to a special place no matter what. At the same time, I think, you know, to see the way that Penn State approached building him physically to go with what his skill set was, it helped his center of gravity, helped his balance. It helped ignite some of that spectacular, the jukes, the spins, the jumps. All that stuff was made better because they focused on the lower half of his body. And Penn State has shown, you know, with him, Miles Sanders got a lot thicker in the bottom half of his body. Journey Brown got a lot thicker from the waist down. It's not to say that they didn't work on the top up, but clearly the approach to make these guys so incredibly strong and powerful with their lower halves has helped every Penn State running back who has come through. Saquon is an insane case because you don't ever see quads like he has. But Miles Sanders was transformed dramatically, I think, from freshman to junior, where that helped him a lot. He looked a lot like Saquon his junior year because he was a lot thicker in the lower half. I think Penn State's philosophy for developing running backs physically is fully on display with these guys. Journey Brown, you know, I wish I knew where his future was going to go. And, you know, he had the heart issue that caused him to retire from football. I thought he was going to have a massive 2021 season. And I think he would have made the jump to the NFL at that point and been a really good player. This is a guy who came from the 3-star ranks. His development journey was cut short, but I think it would have been a really special ending for Penn State and for him.
And the fact that his last game was that Cotton Bowl, where he was, when he first came in as a high school recruit, we all knew about the speed that he had. That's what he was. He was a straight-ahead speed back. But watching him break tackles the way he did in that Cotton Bowl to go along with that speed, so much about that was about development and work ethic. And I want to ask you, though, Dustin, how much of this did Saquon just sort of set the standard, and then you see that same kind of development? It happened with Miles Sanders. Then it happened with Journey Brown. Is it a case where one of those guys developing that way leads to the next guy?
I think when it comes to what they were trying to get done in the weight room, I think that would have been the same no matter what. But I think, to your point, there was some degree of setting the standard at Penn State, and maybe it helped further their philosophy, and it showed what can happen when you are able to transform a guy and get so much stronger in the lower half of his body without compromising anything else. And I think that's the really interesting thing, is that Journey Brown didn't lose any of that speed because he got more powerful from the waist down. I mean, he got more powerful everywhere. So I think probably just furthered that mission, maybe validated that mission some. Saquon was a case that you might not ever see again in terms of how exactly he developed at Penn State and continue to develop with the Giants now. But Journey Brown, you know, he got more powerful. They needed to polish his football technique up a little bit. He needed work on seeing things before they happened and turning that raw ability into polished, actual football skill. That was part of his journey too. And what you saw in that Cotton Bowl, which gave me so much optimism for him for the future, was not only the strength and the power and shoving Memphis tacklers off of him, the physical side of it, but I think just that I will not be denied kind of attitude is huge for a running back. There are a lot of guys who are very talented, can make tacklers miss. They don't have that relentlessness to their game that Journey Brown showed there. So you add all those ingredients together, and I think it would have been a special year for Journey Brown, and I think he'd be looking at, you know, his pro day at this point.
All right, Dustin, we have a few minutes left, still a lot of names to hit. I'm going to turn it over to you. Who are the players you'd like to highlight?
I think KJ Hamler is one that really jumps out to me. I made this list kind of off the top of my head, so I hope I didn't miss anybody too significant. But KJ Hamler, as like a 150-pound kid who was coming off, a torn ACL, there wasn't a lot of teams really lining up to get him, both because he was an unconventional player who was coming off an injury. Penn State was kind of stuck with him. He was from Michigan originally, was at IMG Academy. He developed in a way that still surprised me. And I think he made it so NFL teams had to pay attention to him. He still is like 170 pounds. He's still not a big guy, but Penn State kind of unleashed him and made him faster, made him a little, he's plenty strong enough. But I think more than anything, just giving him that start and cultivating all that speed and talent is what got him to where he is now.
All right, Dustin, I'm going to throw you a curveball because we didn't talk about this ahead of time. We didn't have it in our notes, but we're looking back history, some of the really great development stories at Penn State. Again, got to give a lot of credit to Dwight Gault and what he has done with the strength and conditioning program. Let's go forward now. Let's look at the recruits that came in the last year or two. And admittedly, a lot of these names, they came in as three-star recruits, meaning they weren't the elite guys. They weren't at the top. And they were even listed as development guys. Give me a name or two from the last class or two that you're saying, you know what? This is a Dwight Gault guy. This is a guy who's going to develop under him, and we're going to, in 2 or 3 years, we're going to be talking about them and their pro day.
I think, you know, looking back at 2020, that class, for example, a guy like Fortuna Mulba, a guy like Joseph Darkwa, you know, there are guys who came in just physically with freakish type ability already that they just need more polish on the football side of things. I think clearly Dwight Gault can kind of help ignite the physical packages of these guys, but they are really, really impressive athletes who just happen to be a little bit raw, or maybe they needed weight room technique. Maybe they need more football technique, but in a couple years, I mean, I think Penn State really banked on that, especially into the 2020 class. I think there were six or seven guys who were all in the same boat that physically they look special. They should test really well pretty early, but they have to continue to develop both in the weight room, and they need to get the football skill to go with all that physical talent. But those are two names. I mean, I think there are probably some others that you would look at, but Malik Mega is another good one at wide receiver.
How about Tangwall and Nate Bruce?
I think Tangwall, you're going to look to try to get his footwork up to speed. You're going to try to ignite some of that quickness. Nate Bruce, so much power. I'd like to see him down from 351, though.
Okay, that is going to have to be it for this edition of our show. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. 68 teams started and only the best have survived. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.